Okay, talk to me for a minute. Define love. Okay, so define to me how you live in God, in love, and don't tell me live like Jesus. Because all you know that, but how many do it? How do you live in love? We are trying to define, we are trying to look at things that in all reality we try to do emotionally. For most believers, your emotions will dictate if you're going to love someone or not love someone, if you're going to accept someone or not accept someone, and how you're going to respond to certain people. We have never been told in the Bible to be selective in who we love. We have never been told in the Bible to ignore someone that doesn't fit into our sphere of influence. And so what we really have, we hear so much about love. We talk about love. We say God is love. But when it comes down right down to it, how do we live this out? So yesterday I started just to jot some things down, and this will probably be two parts. I got a whole different message for Pastor Appreciation Sunday. A real nice one where you love me and accept me. After I train you what this love is, then I expect to see reciprocation. Kirk and I both on Pastor Appreciation Day. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 14:1 to pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. So there's a connection between love and spiritual gifts. So without love, your spiritual gifts have no value. And without spiritual gifts, your love has no manifestation.
That's right.
And so we come to a place where neither one works separately of the other. If I can move mountains, if I can do all this stuff, but have not love, I become a loud noise. If I give my body be burned and do all this stuff, it amounts to nothing if I don't love. But let's look at some things. What if you've been through a situation where you deeply loved and you got deeply hurt? Does that give you an excuse not to love? No. So what if you went through a situation where you were loving someone but they didn't love you back? Does that give you an excuse not to love?
No.
So what if you're ornery, mean, and ugly and you just say, I'm not going to love anybody? They're saying thanks. And so we go through a lot of things in life, now listen to me, that emotionally, affect or infect the way we love. But that's not God's love. Your emotional love is not God's love.
That's right.
And so we come to a place where God doesn't tell us your love depends on your lifestyle, or your love depends on your circumstances, or your love depends on anything. He just says love. And loving people is risky. But you know what happens as you get older and you don't want to grow anymore and you don't want to take risk anymore and you don't want to take chances anymore. The first thing that happens is that you build a fence around yourself and nobody gets in there unless you open the door. Because you don't want any more risk. And you don't want any more hurts. And you've had enough pain. And you've been through enough things where you are going to protect your territory. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so God comes and says, hey, I want you to love. And we look at God and say, God, I did try that once. And the end result wasn't very good. But yet God is not suggesting that we love one another. God is commanding us to love one another. There's one thing about love that we need to understand. And Oral Roberts probably put it in a poem as best as I can do it. Oral Roberts said years ago, and I remember it. See, I can remember way back. But who are you, by the way? A song's not a song until you sing it. A bell's not a bell until you ring it. Love's not love until you give it away. It was never put in your heart just to stay. Every one of you have the capacity in Christ to love. The issue becomes, will we allow the Holy Spirit, as Marilyn mentioned, to love through us, or do we really want to? It's kind of interesting. We love not just when we feel like it. How many have ever had a bad day? But we don't love when just when we feel like it. We don't love only when everything's going right. Look at your spouse and realize that your spouse is your brother and sister in Christ before they're your spouse. Are we going to come to church and treat the body of Christ the way we treat the body of Christ in our house? How come nobody said amen? Am I missing something? We don't love just when we love certain people. And we don't love when just that person has been perfect to me. Let's imagine for a moment sitting around a campfire with Jesus, and you're Peter or Judas. Do you know something? For 3 years plus, they were loved by Christ just like everybody else, and even when they betrayed him and denied him, they were still loved. What gives me an excuse not to love someone? How can I'm talking to me, stand up and say, I don't love that person. They are despicable. That's what Jesus died for. Or I don't love that person because they did this to me, or they said this about me, or this happened, or they did this to my family, or they did this to my friend. Look at me. What somebody does to your friends is not your problem. It's not your offense. You say, but they did it. Did they do it to you? Well, that friend is so close to me. Did they do it to you? And things begin to crumble in the love relationship because we get emotionally attached to offenses that aren't ours. Not spiritually, emotionally, but it does affect your spirit. As this body develops, and for years we've said we're a family, the love for one another should expand. Mm-hmm. It's not just loving one another on Sundays. It's loving one another when they cut in front of you in Teal's line as you're waiting and you're in a hurry. It's loving one another when they take your parking place at the post office. That's okay. There's a constant growth of love and acceptance in the body of Christ where we are not looking for a way to stay home from church on Sunday mornings. Well, nobody shook my hand this morning. Well, stand on your chair and yell. There is a solution. Well, nobody said I look good, and nobody did. You're basing your life on people.
That's right. Can't do
that. And that's not how a family functions.
That's right.
We base our life on the Father.
Amen.
And when you are loved by the Father, you have all the love you need, except it's nice to be loved by people too. And so as believers, we stop looking for reasons why things don't work out for us, and we start stepping in to where God is taking us. Amen? I got four things, and I'm not going to finish them. I'll give you maybe one. By that time, you'll be ready to go home and vote on pastor. The way, and it's kind of interesting, and you say, well, I never thought about it that way. I'm just reading what the Bible, well, turn to me, John 13. John 13. John 13:34-35. She's singing to you? A new commandment I give you, love one another. What does commandment mean? A and order. Is it okay if Jesus looks at you and say, I order you?
Yes.
A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So love identifies us with Jesus and identifies Jesus with us and demonstrates to all people that we're followers of Christ. Right? One person. Are we right?
Yes.
We okay?
Yes, sir.
And so because we love one another, people have to understand where that love comes from. Now, I don't care what you've been into and where you've been. If you've served the devil for a while, you know he doesn't love you. He uses you. And so as we walk in the love of Jesus, and it's his love, people have to identify where the love comes from and who you're in relationship with. And they'll recognize because of your love and the difference between normal people, it's God. Now, I'm not preaching this because you don't love. I'm preaching this because there's more love than we, and we can increase in it.
Yes.
I'm preaching this if we really want to change our region, our state, and our nation. The body of Christ has to quit riding their hobby horses, start pointing at things, stop pointing at things, well, this is wrong and that's wrong and you're not doing this, and say, I accept you, so does God, come on in. You know, I'll bet 50% or 60% of Americans, even though they say they're Christians, don't even know what a church is. They're not aware that they can go into some place, be accepted, let their burdens fall, let their lives be open book, and people will accept them. I don't know, God, if I dare say that. Where are the boundaries on the love that God gave you? How many believe there's no boundaries? How many like boundaries? So whoever or whatever could come in this place and we'd love them and we'd welcome into the family. Or if certain kinds of people came in, how many would leave the church? Tax collector, fisherman. Whatever. Jesus said, I didn't choose the elite. Jesus chose the people that would follow. Here's the issue. We have, in each of our minds, pictures of what we think is right and what we think is wrong. And at times, say at times with me, who are redeemable and who aren't. And it affects how we respond to people. Right? Okay, let me ask you a question. Turn the crank back. Take out your mental pencil. Who in your mind is living in hopelessness? Who in your mind is there no hope for, no redemption for, no redeemable factors, no life in Christ? Who have you just basically cast aside? The only right answer is no one. Why? Because who gave up on you before you came to Christ? Who looked at you as unregenerate, unredeemable? But God never did. Love. I understand something. God is turning lives upside down, and your pastor is one of them. Why? Because he's expanding us. He's growing us. He's maturing us. He's bringing us to a place where we see what he sees, and we see in people what he sees in people. God is going to give you gifts of revelation and prophetic gifts where you're going to look at somebody that somebody has looked at as unredeemable, and you're going to have hope, and you're going to have purpose, and you're going to have a design in your hearts, in your minds, in your life that's going to change their whole perspective of who they are. And that's what this kingdom is all about. Do you know that one of the words found in 1 Corinthians 13, and we'll get into it next week, is hope? Love always hopes.
That's right.
Interesting. What have we been talking about for the last... Well, I haven't been talking about it, but I hope Kirk has. Or Stephen. Hope. Expectation. I'm not satisfied with my hope level. I'm not satisfied with the love that God is growing in me. I want it to spread, not so it becomes just sloppy. The Bible says, speak the truth in love. Don't condemn people, but tell them truth. I had to do that this week. Just looking at somebody and said, that's not the lifestyle that God can really bless. You can't live that way. I mean, you can, but you can't, not if you want to be blessed by God. And so as we give God our hearts, I didn't set you up for something, because I didn't know I was going to do that. As we give God our hearts, he gives us the ability to love. Mm-hmm. There should be nobody besides the devil and his demons that you've made your enemy, that you've personally looked at and said, you're my enemy. Because there always should be the room left for God to intervene and God to change and God to mold and God to make them into his image. We identify with Jesus Christ. We identify as his followers. We come to a place where we are walking with him and we are resembling him. We okay?
Yes, sir.
Shall I take another offering? How many got time for one more?
Yes, sir.
I told you it's an amazing message. I'm sure glad I got it off television. First John 2, 5, and 6. I'll come back over this one next Sunday, but I just want to give it to you. 1 John chapter 2, but if anyone, in verse number 5, but if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as he walked. You don't hear a whole bunch about obedience anymore. But there is a place in the kingdom of God for obedience to the word of God. It's hard to take the word of God, and I've been doing quite a bit of reading at home. It's hard to take the word of God and look at it and read something that Jesus said or that Paul or James or John or somebody else said and say, well, this just does not apply to me. But as we are obedient to the word of God, the Bible says that his love is made complete in us. I want to read that to you again. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete. That means perfect. That means mature. In him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him. How many like the word must? Must walk as he walked. How do you walk? Jesus lived a life for the betterment of the people that came in contact with him. I want to live my life, whether it's around this table when some people are talking politics, or we're drinking coffee, or pastor's buying rolls, or whatever's going on, or Kirk just gets frustrated and walks to his little stall back there and say, I can't take any more of this. I want to live my life where people are becoming better because of it.
Yes.
I want you, when you leave here, and you can look at this whole thing, and you can walk out of here saying, that word that Pastor preaches, or Kirk preaches, or Stephen preaches, or whoever preaches, is working within me to make people better. And that's what God does through you. That's why we love people. Because when we are loving people, they have an opportunity to become better, and they have an opportunity to see Christ and what he's really like. I do not, please grab this, I do not want to leave people with a distorted picture of Christ based on my opinion. And that's what's happening in America. That's absolutely what's going on. People go to that church or that church or that church or that church And everyone has a different picture of what it is to be a Christian. I want people to see in my life that the Word of God is actively working, and the reality of the Christian life is shown because not I'm so great, but I've allowed the Holy Spirit to work through me and in me, and what comes out most of the time is God. That doesn't make you less human. It makes you more like Jesus. And you know something? You're not representing COC in this community. You're representing Jesus Christ. And so not only as we obey the Word becomes complete in us, or the love becomes complete in us, that love also enables us to walk as Jesus walked. It may have taken from 71 to 1971 to 2000, is that 29 years? Who's a mathematician? And then you add 29 and 16, you get 45? Wow. God's been patient with me for 45 years to teach me something. He's been teaching me longer than most of you are born. But you know, the end result is that we finally get it. We come in here to glorify Jesus. We come in here to be in His presence. I'm giving you an outline of a message that will be preached in a couple of weeks. We come in here to hear truth from wherever. And we come in here to be a family. And we go out of here to let people see Jesus in our lives. Right? I cannot do that without loving the people I'm representing Jesus to. I gotta let you go. I gotta go change the cat litter.
Oh my goodness.
But listen to me. Of all the giftings and callings and occupations and things in the world, the most important one you can step into is allowing the love of God to flow through you to whoever you see. You see, people, forgive me, just let me go a minute. People rarely see people like you. And they rarely walk into a church like COC, and I'm not bragging. It's not about me. They don't walk into a place where the presence and the love and the truth and the family atmosphere of God is present. And what we need to do is take that and embellish it. There may be differences, but I'm going to tell you something. God's presence is here. We have people that walk in the doors and their lives are changed by walking in the doors. Why? Because of pastor? No. Because because of Jesus. We have people come in and they don't understand why, but their marriages are getting better. There's healing taking place. There are things happening. And I'm not bragging on COC. I'm bragging on Jesus. But it couldn't be happening if we didn't welcome him. It couldn't be happening if we didn't love his presence. It couldn't be happening if we didn't want to hear truth. And so this year, we're just going to have Christmas and Thanksgiving here as a family. You can't go anywhere else. We're the family. But praise God. We love you. We're excited about where we're going. I'm excited for the people that... I'm excited for Kirk, and that's hard to say, but... I'm excited for his vision and Marnie and the worship team and the leadership. And I'm excited that you guys are just saying, hey, let's go. Let's go for it. That excites me. Somebody once told me, you know, if you have a little wildfire, don't worry about it because there's enough wet blankets to put it out. But we just want fire. We want the fire of God burning in you. And if sometimes we make a mistake, hey, we made a mistake. We're going for it. We're going for it. We're going for it together in Christ. Amen?
Amen.